If any of you guys have seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I felt like the child capturer in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. We're like, come here, Joey, I have all the snacks. Come into the horse box, like some sort of creepy person. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. Oh my goodness, I feel like I have a lot to update you on. I feel like I say that every time, but I haven't really talked to you about since I've been back in England. The last couple of episodes have all about me being in Florida, my adventures over there. So I feel like this episode is going to be really lovely, really cozy, just updating you on all the horses. Of course, I've got some interesting stories to tell you about. But before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. Also, I have recently been bathing all of the horses. It's that time of year now. The sun has come out. It's now spring. So it's time for the horses' spring bath time. But one thing that you don't want to do is not have enough shampoo. So if you need to stock up on shampoo, lotions and potions, all the other things to get your horses ready for the summer or the event season or the show season, whatever discipline you do, then be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk. First off, I thought I would update you about all of the horses because I haven't talked about them in the podcast for a while and they're all doing really well. Let me start off with Joey first. So Joey was actually staying at my friend's house while I was away because it's just easier for so he can stay and work and be exercised. So whenever I'm going away for like quite a long trip, then he goes over there. So he's actually got loads of like horsey pals and friends that he's made when he goes to my friend's yard. And it was actually so sad but so cute at the same time, because when we took him home he started neighing to all of these horses and they were neighing back to him, and he was like, see you later guys, I'll see you, like, well actually he'll be seeing them pretty soon because I'm off to Kentucky again. Well, again, I've never been to Kentucky. I'm off to the USA again. I'm off to Kentucky next week. Is it next week? No. Yes. No. Yes, it is next week. Oh my gosh, that's gone around so quickly. Anyway, sorry, back to UK stories. So yeah, that was very sad but cute. So it goes to show that, you know, horses, they like making friends. Joey's actually a very sociable horse. Like, he just wants to make friends with absolutely everybody. So there we go. Joey actually has been a little bit cheeky lately. I thought I'd do a little story about him first because the other day, you know, Joey has never really had an issue with loading. When we first got him and first loaded him in the horse box, he was fine. But on the way home, actually the first time I ever took him out, because we got him in 2020, so obviously it was COVID, lockdown, all that kind of stuff. So he was dropped off by his previous owners and then just didn't go in a horse box or a lorry or whatever for like a good couple of months, because we were just, you know, staying at home, as you should. And when it was finally time where you could, you know, go out to the beach or go to the forest or that kind of thing, doing your kind of hour of exercise, or maybe it was a little bit after that, because our horse box actually had like a problem and then we had to wait for ages for this part to come, so we couldn't get out anywhere, but that was fine. Everyone was staying at home anyway. But yeah, the first time we took him somewhere was actually the beach, and we had such a lovely time. He was so well behaved. We went for like a little gallop on the beach as well, and he was just so good. And then when it came to coming home, he just did not want to come home. I can't remember how long we were there. Joey's the sort of horse where he's definitely not like scared of the horse box. Like some horses, they've had past trauma, or they can be a little bit wary or scared of it because you're going from light to dark, and that can affect quite a few horses. But Joey isn't a scaredy horse. He is a horse who just likes to do things on his own terms sometimes. He likes to think that the world revolves around him. So he always has like only child syndrome, even though I have three other horses. He just thinks that, you know, if I give any of the other horses attention, he's like, excuse me. He gets proper sassy and upset. So he's definitely a jealous sort of type. So anyway, yeah, we got him in eventually. In the end, he was just like, you know what, I'm bored now, I'll just go in. And then we did a lot of work with him to get him, like, just seeing the horse box as a place that was a positive place and associated with food. And I don't know if that's because at his previous home he was always in like a big horse kind of lorry rather than our kind of like van horse box. So maybe it was just like not what he was used to. He was used to something bigger. And also last time that he was in a horse box was being dropped off somewhere new and somewhere strange. And he'd never stayed anywhere else his entire life apart from, you know, the yard that he was born at and the yard that I bought him from. So maybe we just thought maybe, you know, he's not used to this horse box. We need to get him used to it. And also we need to let him know that he's not going to be abandoned or taken somewhere else, that like this is his forever home and he's going to be staying with us for life. We're just going somewhere fun. And, you know, that worked really well. We did like loading practice every day with a bucket of food. And sometimes he would take maybe 5 minutes to load and sometimes he'd go in straight away. And we just did that until, like, Joey, I would have said before his little blip that we're going through at the moment, before he would almost like load himself, he'd like leap in, he'd be like, okay, where are we going, let's go. And it's really weird because most horses, they are better at getting in the horse box on the way home because they know they're going home, they know they're going back to their friends, back to their dinner or stable or field or whatever. And normally it's on the way out, they're like, where are you taking me, where are we going, we go to the vet, so we go, we're like, I don't know, it's a little bit of the unknown because you can't really tell a horse, oh yeah, we're like going to the beach today, or oh yeah, we're going to the forest today, or oh yeah, we're going to a jumping lesson today. They're just getting in this thing and being like, I don't know where I'm going. So yeah, Joey, for the last, goodness, I've had him 4 years now, for the last 4 years has been fine at loading, and he's always very excited to go somewhere new and that kind of thing. But recently, the other day, I took him to the woods for a hack. And it's one of his favourite places. We went for a little trot around. He was so good. But when it came to loading him on the way home, I don't know why, but Joey was just like, no, thank you. I want to stay here. I don't want to go. And we were like, what on earth is going on here? Because it was so out of character. And it wasn't like it was because he'd had a little holiday at my friend's place and he was worried he was going to be taken away, because he got in the horse box fine on the way to the woods. So we were like, what is going on? Anyway, so we were probably there for about half an hour, and I was maybe 20 minutes, and we're like, okay, there's something's really weird, something's really off, like why is Joey not getting in the horse box? So I decide to ring Felicity, my instructor, and be like, hey, and this was a Sunday as well, so I felt really bad ringing her, but I thought, she's a horsey person, she'll probably be doing something with the horses or whatever, and the woods that I go to isn't that far away from where her yard is, so I thought, worst case scenario, maybe there's somebody at her yard that could come and help us or come and rescue us. So I rang her, and she was actually away doing some cross-country schooling with horses, and I was like, do you have any advice on how to get him in? And then she was like, oh, like maybe some like high reward treats, because normally we have treats with us, and we did, but they weren't, you know, the good stuff. We actually, I think it was his, we always have like a bit of his dinner, so his like low-cal balancer, which, don't get me wrong, the horses all love it, but it is low-cal for a reason. Like, it doesn't have much sugar in. It's not like giving your horse a load of sugar lumps or apples or carrots or, I don't know, like really sugary treats. Like, it's very good for them and they love it and they always devour it all. But when you're trying to, you know, coax a horse into a horse box, you need the high reward treats. And we didn't have any of those. Luckily, the woods isn't that far away from our house. So then I had to ring my brother and be like, hi, I hope you're not busy because I know that you're revising for your really stressful engineering exams. Would you mind if you come and bring some apples, carrots and treats to us to get low Joey in, and also a lunge line, because we didn't have that in the horse box, so that's one thing that we're also going to keep in the horse box, because that is another way of loading horses. But anyway, I am definitely I'm the sort of person where I am more good cop than bad cop. Like Joey, I was like, okay, he's gonna get in at some point, because it's not like he's scared of the horse box, it's not like he's got any past trauma or anything like that. He's literally just laughing to himself. He's like, this is so funny, I'm getting all this attention from my parents, and they're just like, well, I'm not his actual biological mother, but I like to think that I'm his mum, I'm his adoptive mum. So we were just there like, come on Joey, in you come, I've got some lovely, I honestly, I felt like the if any of you guys have seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I felt like the child capturer in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Be like, come here, Joey, I have all the snacks. Come into the horse box, like some sort of creepy person. And Joey was like, no. So anyway, my brother comes along, drops off some food. So I have a carrot in my hand. As soon as Joey sees this carrot, he just loads in straight away. He's like, yeah, I'll come in for a carrot. I'll come in. And he just goes straight on. And I was like, goodness me, Joey, what in the world? Like, we have been waiting there for like half an hour, 40 minutes, and a carrot. All he wanted was a carrot, and he went straight in. So he was definitely, you know, taking the mick out of us. We were saying maybe he was like, no, guys, you need to calm down. You're rushing around all the time. Let's be mindful. Let's just stand here in the woods, enjoy the noise of the trees and everything, and just stand here. And to be fair, there were a few times where he almost got on and he was like, nah, don't really feel like it. So now this is a little reminder to always bring high reward treats with you whenever you go out on the horse box, and a lunge line too, just in case. Because yeah, I would have never thought that we would have had an issue with loading with Joey. So I don't know why that's happened, but there we go. Next up, I thought I would talk about Casper, as he's kind of the next horse in the horse order. I'm going to do it in high order, so we'll do little Duke last. Casper has been doing really well. He's my little Connemara pony. He's 18 now, which is wild. So, I mean, he's old, but he's not old. He definitely does not feel old. I took him for, I don't know why I decided to do this, but as soon as I came back from Florida, I was like, you know what? We'll go for a hack across the fields where he gets really excited. And I thought, yeah, that'll be fine. Oh my gosh, I felt like I was riding a racehorse. He was wanting to zoom the whole time. And there's this one like little hill that is actually a pretty good hill to canter up because it's quite steep. So by the time Casper gets to the top of it, he's like, okay, I'll slow down now. I'm done. That's like my energy out. So before I go up the hill, I was like, no, Casper, we can't go yet. You can only go like when I say, because if not, I don't want him to go through that gate and just be like, okay, time to bolt, time to go. And it isn't really the best to canter or gallop a horse in the same area on your local bridle path or fields every single time, because if not, they're going to anticipate it. Like, that is something do not do. But I've had Casper for over 10 years now, and he knows that this is one of the fields that we sometimes canter in. So he got really worked up, and I was like, this horse is going to explode if I don't get this energy out of him. So I was like, okay, let's go up this hill. And he was like a rocket. He was so excited, so pumped up. And then when we were waiting at the gate, I don't know, he does this weird thing where it's kind of like a weird hop, buck, leap in the air, which he never used to do. He used to be more of a put my head down, put my back legs up in the air, bronc kind of horse. But I don't know if he's seen Joey do it in the field and he's like, oh, this looks fun. But he spooked at something, because obviously he was quite fresh, and leaped up in the air. And this is the weirdest horse injury I've ever had, because obviously when a horse leaps up in the air and you're on their back, you leap up too. Normally when you think of injuries when it comes to horses, you think of either something when you're leading them on the ground, like maybe they step on your foot or something like that, or you think of, oh, you've fallen off. Well, in this scenario, neither of those things happened. I just got launched up into the air, and as I came back down, obviously I went to go and grab a little bit of mane, or like I was kind of like landing on his neck a little bit. So my thumb went onto his neck and I bent it all the way back, and oh my goodness, I was like, "Ooh, that was a little bit painful. That wasn't very good." And I gave it a little wiggle, because having family members that are medical, they're always like, give it a little wiggle, see if you can move it. And I could move it, so I was like, ow, I'm fine, I'm all good. And then the next day, I think it was either that night when I was going to sleep or the next day, I was like, "Ooh, my thumb is really hurting, but it's only sprained and it's completely fine now. Maybe like it's like a little bit bruised, but it's fine now." But I was like, that's the weirdest like horse injury. I've never heard of anyone landing on their horse after they've leaped or launched them up into the air and bending their thumb back. So I think that is definitely the strangest horse injury that I've ever had. But apart from that, he was really good on the way back home. Like all the other fields, he was super calm. We just walked. We did not go fast. And there were all the, there's like a stud near where us, so there's loads of like mares all in like this big herd. And sometimes my horses do like to show off to the mares. But he was like, you know what? I've got my energy out of me. I'm just chilling with my fam, because we went on like a little family walk as well, because my brother's back from uni, so it was like the four of us. And it honestly was giving me like lockdown vibes, because I felt like the last kind of time that we were together properly as a family of four was in lockdown. Obviously, you know, COVID did lots of horrible things to lots of different people, but I think for a lot of people they see it as a time where it was the last time that they were like together with their family, or especially people my kind of age, because I've got friends that have gone off to uni now or have moved up and down the country. And it was kind of like a real lovely time that I got to still be with, like, I don't know, us as the family of four all together. So going on a little walk together with Casper just reminded me of that, which was really sweet. But yeah, anyway, Casper is doing really well. He's had a haircut since I last, since I've been back. So he's looking super clean, super fresh, gave him a full-on bath as well. And so far, because the fields are starting to dry out, now we always say April 12th or 13th, it's around that time that it's rolling the fields time. Our fields are still wet. They are not ready to roll. I bet you they're going to be ready to roll when we're in Kentucky, and then we'll come back and they'll be all lumpy because it's too late and the ground is rock solid and we'll just have lumpy fields. But you know what? It's fine. We're lucky that we have enough fields that we can kind of rotate them. So, but also a lot of the time when the fields are a little bit lumpy, because, you know, my horses, they like to move and groove around their fields quite a bit. It just, when they just walk on the ground, just kind of flattens it. Anyway, what is the date that I'm filming this? I'm filming this on the 15th. So yeah, we are past the annual rolling date. So it goes to show what a wet spring that we've had. But it's starting to be a little bit sunnier. It's starting to feel a bit warmer. I wore a summer dress yesterday over the weekend. So spring is here. It is here, guys. We've just had a little bit of a wet field spring, that's for sure. But no, Casper's doing really well. I've been bringing him back into jumping again, and he has been loving that. He's like a little pocket rocket. He loves it. So, yeah, lots of fun things with him that I'm planning to do in the summer. But obviously, Casper's one of those horses where I'm like, he's 18. I don't want to push him to like jump 90 meter tracks like he used to. Like, if even if I pop like a little, like his like comfort height now, which is probably like 70, 80, like if I just pop him around like a little course, he can't really do anything too gymnasticsy either, because just as he's getting a little bit older, it just puts a little bit of like pressure on his joints and stuff. So we don't really do like bounce jumps or anything like that as much. But I've been doing some pole work with him, which has been good, loosening him up, and you know, he's feeling really good at the moment. Anyway, on to Mickey. Mickey has been doing well. Actually, he's had a little bit of a cloudy eye recently, so we've got some eye drops and everything, so we've been fixing that. But I think it's probably just where he's been rolling around in the mud, probably got a bit of dirt in it or something. Like him and Duke, they're always up to some antics. So Mickey, as you guys know, is my first pony, who's now retired. He's a little bit of an older guy. He's 25 now, I believe, so he is old. I was thinking, how old is Mickey in horse years? And he's like 80 in horse years, which is wild, because he still runs around with Duke like a five-year-old. So Duke has definitely been keeping him young. So much so, actually, I've got a funny story. So Mickey and Duke, you guys know, when the fields are a little bit wet, we sometimes put them in the arena because they love going in there, zooming around, playing. And Mickey and Duke decided, you know what's going to be really fun? We're going to do this like rearing competition of who can rear the highest. Now, obviously, Mickey is 13 hands. Duke is like 10 hands. So Mickey's quite a bit taller. And Mickey thought, oh, I'll rear up as high as I can, which Mickey isn't normally a rearing kind of person. Don't know where this has come from, but anyway, it's their new little game that they've been playing. So Mickey decided to rear all the way up, and then Duke decided, you know what, I'm gonna like try and like play bite him or whatever while Mickey was up. And Mickey kind of went to dodge it but failed and rolled back on his back. And obviously I'm there like, oh my gosh, you are old, please do not hurt yourself. Now this is the funny part, because I didn't realize how self-aware horses were, or that horses could get embarrassed. Because as Mickey kind of rolled, like, you know, he flipped onto his back. Luckily, this was in the arena, so it was all soft sand and everything. He kind of did like a little look around to see if anybody kind of looked or saw that he fell over. and he looked a little bit embarrassed, and then he started rolling. He styled out his fall into a roll, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so funny, because I just wouldn't have expected that, like, that horses could get embarrassed or could get, you know, worried that other people would be like, oh gosh, you see him over there, he's gone and fallen over. And I was thinking to myself, maybe it's because they get embarrassed, or maybe it's like a survival instinct, because they don't want to look like the weaker horse in a herd, or like a horse that's, I don't know, fallen over, because the predators would be like, see that one over there, that doofus, he's got him fallen over, that's the one that we should go and get, not those other ones that, you know, can run away, that one that's fallen over, yeah, him, that idiot, let's go for him. So maybe he was like, oh no, just rolling, this is some sort of weird survival tactic. But anyway, I want to hope or wish that it was him just being embarrassed, because I find that so funny that horses can be embarrassed. I mean, Joey gets frustrated with himself if he knocks a pole. He sometimes does a little buck afterwards. He's like, oh goodness, I gotta knocked it down, what, I'm so stupid, like that kind of thing. And I find that quite funny. But to be fair, sometimes it's my bad riding. It's like, girl, why did we knock that down? That's your fault. So next up we have Duke. So actually, all the horses, they had their teeth done recently. If you didn't know, horses have to see the horse dentist either every 6 months or every year. Most of my horses only need them done every year now because they're a little bit older. But if you have horses that are a little bit younger, maybe 5, 6, they need to be done a little bit more regularly. Or if your horses have teeth issues, obviously each horse is different. So yeah, most of mine only need to be done once a year. And Duke had his, well, he's had his teeth looked at before because he is, what, 3 now? And he's been going through like a little phase where he's been losing his baby teeth. He's been teething quite a lot. So he's been given lots of different nicknames by my family members because he's going through a little bit of a difficult phase at the moment. He's going through a little bit of a, I just want to chew on everything phase, which isn't the best. But anyway, so he lost his baby, one of his baby teeth, when the dentist came, and it's so small and so cute. And I don't know if it's really weird if I keep his baby teeth. Like, what if I have someone around and they're like, what's that? Like, where do we keep them? I think at the moment, this is probably really odd, but we have a few of the horse's tooths just in our mud room under the sink cupboard. And we're like, that's very random. Let me know if you also keep your horse's teeth, because I don't know if that's really creepy or like some sort of like you've got a weird relationship with your horse. You've got like some little shrine to its teeth. Like, I just don't know what to do. It feels weird to throw it in the bin. Like, that is part of my horse. I mean, to be fair, when your horse gets its hooves trimmed, that just, you know, gets swept up into the muck pile. Or, you know, when they have their, like, chestnuts. Or my dad always calls them chuggernuts, and I don't know why. I think it's because he forgot that they were called chestnuts, and he just started calling them chuggernuts. So now I call them chuggernuts as well, even though that's not the right word. Excuse me, did you just make noise while I'm trying to film my podcast? Oh, it's your headphones that you've dropped. Lovely. Anyway, back to the chuggernuts. Sorry for the little disruption there. Yeah, so if you don't know what chestnuts are on a horse, basically, if you look at their legs, there's this little, I don't know how, crusty is a really disgusting word, but there's like this little crusty bit where it's kind of like made of keratin, obviously, like fingernails. And I think it's where horses have evolved, and it's like their thumbnail kind of thing, I'm pretty sure, or like a part of their nail. So, because horses technically like walk on their middle finger, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, which is kind of weird when you think about it, the way they've evolved. But anyway, so it's like this little bit of keratin, and Mickey gets really, really like long ones. So I think maybe like 3 or 4 inches is the longest that they've got, because I don't know, he's got his like skin condition and things where I think he just has like an overproduction of keratin, because he does like get quite scabby and scaly and dandruffy. So obviously we have all the special medical washes and creams that we use in his legs to make sure that he's comfortable and happy. But yeah, his chestnuts, I feel like they could win some world records, because, and then it gets to the stage where like, okay, we need to peel it off. But obviously you don't want to peel off the chestnuts when they're still kind of attached to them, because you don't want to make your horse bleed or whatever. So you have to kind of just, you just have to like kind of twist them every now and again and wait for them to drop off, or if you can peel them off yourself, as long as it's not going to hurt the horse. But that is my, this is so weird, but that's my dad's favorite thing to do. If it, like, whenever he's looking at me like, oh my gosh, don't expose me, like I'm some sort of weirdo. But whenever I'm grooming the horses, like, he likes to, like, he does this thing, like, I don't know if this is such a dad thing or not, like, he, you know, there's like that joke that whenever dads, like, dads don't like pet or like cuddle dogs, they give them like a little pat on their belly. I feel like that's the dad thing, but with horses. Like, my dad goes along and he always like just feels their ribs. He's like, how fat are you, how much meat is on your bones, do I need to feed you up a little bit? He's like that witch in Hansel and Gretel where the kids have to put their fingers out and feel how fat they are or if they're ready to eat. And my dad's just there like feeling all the horses, being like, oh, you could lose a bit of weight, or oh, you could have a bit more dinner tonight. So, and he also does that thing where he's like, oh, where, what are the chuggernuts like, are they, do any of them need peeling off? To be fair, it is quite satisfying. I don't know if it, I feel like horsey people are going to totally understand what I mean by the satisfaction of peeling off a chestnut, but if you're not horsey, this sounds so weird. So anyway, there we go. I feel like we've just exposed ourselves, but I feel like that's just my whole podcast really. So anyway, that is the update on all the horses. That is how they're doing. What else have I been up to? That's a little check on my notes app because I'm so bad at going off topic. What other things have I been up to lately? Oh, I've been doing a lot of spring cleaning. So I've been filming a little spring cleaning series on my channel, and that is going really well. Oh my gosh, the stables look so good now. I feel like the thing that's actually made the biggest difference was we've got this like old fence that a lot of the time in the summer I'll tie the horses up to when grooming them. And that fence, you know, it's been a bit chewed by Joey. There's a lot of grass that's just started to grow underneath. So I strimmed all the grass, I sanded the fence, and I painted it as well, the same dark grey as the inside of the horses, like stable doors. And oh my goodness, it has transformed the yard. I think I got a little bit of inspiration from being in Florida, seeing all the beautiful painted fences. And do I have the time or the funds or the money to paint all of my fences? No, but can I paint this one little bit of fence, which is at the stable yard, to make it look super smart? Yes, I can. So that's what I've done. And oh my goodness, every time I go up to the yard line, I'm like, wow, it's like a whole new yard. Like, I do this every spring. I do like a bit of a spring clean just to get ready for summer. And I just feel like, okay, we're in summer now. We're in the best part of the year. Like, all the mud is starting to go, and it just, oh, it looks so good. It's just like, it's like the stables just look brand new. It's like a full on refresh. So I also need to try and put some hanging baskets up again, because we've done that the last couple of years ever since we did the first stable renovation, and it always just makes them look so pretty, especially as the stables are grey, so it just adds a little pop of colour as well. However, we have decided we are going to probably do one less hanging basket this year, because we've got this one which is outside Duke's stable, and as the way my stables kind of are, there's a bit of a slope down where Duke's stable is, which is good because you, when you're sweeping the yard, you can sweep all the water down it and down into the drain. But the bad thing is, if you, because there's a little bit of a slope, this hanging basket is a little bit lower, and it's, I don't know what it is, it's almost like it's invisible, because the height that it is, you just don't see it when you come out of Duke's stable. And the amount of times that all of us have hit our head on that hanging basket. So this summer, it's going, it's, I'm like, sorry, it's going to look a little bit unsymmetrical because there's going to be one missing. But I feel like our brain cells is probably more important than how pretty the yard looks. So yeah, that is the plan. Also giving the horse books a good old clean. Maybe that was one of the, I was going to say, maybe that was one of the reasons why Joey was a bit funny with the horse books, because I did give it a full on clean. It looked like a whole new horse box, and was probably like, whoa, hold the phone, why does this look so different? But then he got in all right on the way there. So I don't know. He's going through a funny phase, but as long as I got some carrots, hopefully we should be fine. Do you know, maybe that was like Joey's weird way of like bargaining. He was like holding us hostage at the woods, being like, no, you cannot leave, only if you bring the carrots. So there we go. Anyway, what else have I been? Oh, I did some rock climbing the other day. So I used to do bouldering. If you don't know what bouldering, it's basically indoor rock climbing, but you do it without a harness, and it's not as high up as most like rock climbing walls, and a lot of it is done on like, it's more technical, and the grips are smaller, and you have some, and they're like further away obviously, you know, there's different levels. There are easier ones and harder ones. Now, I haven't done bouldering for about 2 years. I used to go with some of my friends that used to go to a university not too far away. But to be fair, it was like an hour drive almost to get there, just under. But there's a new rock climbing place that's not as far away from where I live. So I thought, you know what? Me and my friend were like, we'll go there. You never know who you might meet or who you might see there. We'll maybe make some friends. So we decided to go. And oh my goodness, when I tell you, I have never ached or hurt so much after doing any physical exercise in my entire life. So I, you know, I do my little personal training sessions with my trainer D, and she makes me do like all these kind of things, all this kind of stuff, and I ache the next day. But when I tell you, the pain that I was in after doing bouldering, I couldn't even open a door. Like, I could not open my car door without using like both hands because I was that weak. I felt like I had jellyfish arms. I was done. I was like KO'd. I couldn't do anything. Like, just like little things like opening a cupboard door, which every day you'd take for granted. But I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in so much pain just from opening a drawer or like picking out my phone. I was just like, this is not normal. You know, I think it's like, you know, when you do weightlifting and stuff, you kind of break your muscles for them to build up stronger. I felt like every muscle in my entire body had been broken, because when you're doing it, but even if you're only like a foot up in the air, you want to hold on for dear life because you don't want to fall. You know, that's the aim of the thing. Even there's this one room called the cave, which I feel like every bouldering place, they have a place called the cave, where it's not actually like high at all. You're maybe max half a meter up in the air, but you kind of like go across the rock climbing wall rather than up or down. And also, if you are a bouldering expert, and I'm using the wrong terminology, I'm very, very sorry, or a rock climbing expert. But anyway, I used to do it all the time and I just haven't for ages, and I forgot how much of a workout it is. So the time slot that we were given, it was like, oh yeah, you can come for as long as you want in between like this 4 hour period. And I was telling my friend, I was like, I don't think we're going to last 2 hours, let alone four, because the old place I used to go to was a 2 hour time slot. And if I hadn't been for a while, like by the time we got to an hour and a half period, I was done and dusted. So we were only there for like an hour and 10 minutes. But oh my gosh, it is a workout. So if you are one of those people where you're like me and going to the gym and doing like weightlifting is a little bit like, I quite like the machines where, you know, you just like have a little, you know, the little stick and you can like decide on what amount of weight it is. But the idea of doing actual weightlifting with a pole with two different weights on the end, and like, I don't know, I just always feel like I'm going to do my posture wrong or hurt myself or do something bad for my knees. But the actual like machines, like I always call them the bum machines because they like, you know, build up your bum or whatever, they're not as scary. You know, you can just sit on them, do your thing, nobody's going to be worried about if you're doing it wrong. But the actual weightlifting, no thank you, that's not for me, unless I have someone there that knows how to gym and can spot me and look after me and be like, yep, you're doing this correct. Anyway, if you want to do an activity that's not going to the gym because you find going to the gym boring, which I can't lie, sometimes going to the gym, it is dull, so I do like to, you know, listen to some groovy tunes and stuff like that, go rock climbing. Maybe I'll inspire some people to go rock climbing or bouldering, because my goodness, it is the workout of a century. You use everything. You use your core, you use your legs, you use your arms. It's not, I wouldn't really say it's much like cardio wise, but if you want to like build up your muscles, oh my gosh, yeah, and you will be in pain the next day. Maybe it's just me. I'm one of those people that I will push it. I will, you know, I'm quite competitive. I'm like, okay, on to the next level. I want to do the harder one. I want to do the more difficult one. I want to do it. And also with rock climbing, like, you do just want to hold on for dear life. Even if, like, if you were doing normal weightlifting, you'll be like, okay, I need a rest. Or okay, I'm going to give up now. But with that, you can't give up. Even if you're 30 centimeters off the ground, you're like, no, I will not fall onto the crash mats. I will hold on for dear life. So we both had a lot of fun doing that. We were like, okay, we might need to have like a few weeks off just to recover because we were both aching so much. But it was a lot of fun. Something else fun that I've done since I've been back in England again is I have done some mounted games. And it's one of those things that I used to absolutely love when I was younger. I used to do it on my pony Mickey and I had so much fun doing it. We were definitely like slow and steady wins the race. And around the time, we actually did quite a few different mounted games competitions, but then it started to get a little bit more serious. And we were great because we were slow and steady. Like, we never dropped the equipment. Mickey was never spooky with the equipment. Like, we were all good. But then things started to get a little bit more competitive. My friends started to get a little bit faster on their games ponies. And Mickey wasn't like never a like games pony, if you know what I mean. Like, he wasn't trained to do games. He hadn't done games his whole life, like a lot of these ponies had. Like, he was just happy, you know, trying something new, going along. He loved it, I loved it, but we weren't very fast. So we that was also around the stage where Mickey started to get a little bit older, a few more of his medical conditions developed. So we were like, okay, we decided to not continue with games, sadly. But I used to absolutely love it, and I did it again the other day with the Royal Windsor Horse Show, who challenged me because they're going to have the England Mounted Games Pony Club teams there at the show. So if you want to go to the Royal Windsor Horse Show, check it out, go and see them. So I was there with the England team, which was very cool, and went to a training session with them. And oh my goodness, I was put on this pony called Candace. And, you know, riding and getting used to a new horse is one thing, but also doing, you know, a discipline that you haven't done for over 10 years, maybe, is something else. So I was riding her and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing, because I was doing bending and I did like the turns a little bit too tight and I just knocked down all the bending poles. I was like, this is so embarrassing. Luckily, I redeemed myself, and by the end of it, they were like, actually, you're really good. So I'll give myself a little pat on the back for that. So I was quite proud of myself. I managed to, yeah, get used to her, remember how to do things. You could kind of slowly see everything was clicking, everything was coming back to me, like how to hold the equipment, how to do the different things, how to do my little S-bend, I think it's called, when you go up to different areas to like pick up and put down equipment. And I did, there are a few of them that I hadn't done before. So I don't think I'd ever done balloon before, where you have like a little spike and have to pop a balloon. Actually, that is a lie. I have done balloon before, but it wasn't with a balloon. It was with a peasant's head, obviously a fake one, with the Knights of Middle England, where I did night games and I had to like basically stab this fake head with this pointy stick. So I remember being actually quite good at that one. So that was good fun. What other ones did we do? I got to hold the Union Jack flag for flag at the end, which I have done like flag quite a few times before. I feel like that's one of the OG basic mounted games ones. There was one where we had to like dress up in a cow costume. I was the milkman. The other teammates were the cow, and I felt so bad because I can get a little bit too competitive. This poor girl, I was like really like trying to like stuff her head into this cow costume and I was like, I'm sorry if I was a little bit like too eager putting the costume on, I hope you're okay. She's like, no, it's fine, I wanted to win too. I was like, okay, that's good. But I did forget my milk. I had to run back for my milk, so that was quite funny. I was like, oh no, my milk. But no, I also did vaulting at the end, which I have not done vaulting for ages, and I'm definitely not as flexible as I used to be when I was younger. The thing that I just needed to do was just to be able to lift my legs up a little bit higher. I feel like when you watch back the footage, I actually had quite a good jump, but I just did not lift my leg up quite enough. I wanted to get on like, I don't know, front ways, which isn't really the correct way, but I did manage to do it. It was not good, it was not brilliant at all, but I managed to get on while vaulting, so there we go. And Candace, the pony that I was riding, she was awesome. She looked after me so well, and she put up with all of my antics as well, like trying to vault on her, and when I had to go back because I dropped equipment and things like that. She was so good. So yeah, thank you to Candace's owner for very kindly letting me riding her. I had so much fun doing all the games. So if you would like to watch that video, it is now up on YouTube. So if you want to see me almost fall flat on my face when I do vaulting. So there we go. I think on that note, I will finish today's podcast episode off there. I really hope you enjoyed it. Also, a huge thank you to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast. Go and check them out if you need to pick up anything's ready for the spring summer season ahead. And I will see you all in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.